I've got the conference call.
Can you hear me clearly?
Yep, I can hear you clearly.
Right.
Hey, Nami.
Is there? I don't know. Nami?
You guys ready?
Yeah.
Yep.
Stand by.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, Nami, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Can you hear me well?
Yeah, we can hear you pretty good. Do you happen to know, or does someone tell you, or do you track how many times someone throws your way in a year?
You're talking about at the end of the year?
Yeah, how many times a quarterback is thrown your direction by the end of the year, you know, the opposing quarterbacks?
Yeah. The coaches pull that up. We just go through every, I guess since 2005, I think we've just gone through every single snap and just tallied it.
Do you know how many times you were thrown at last year?
Yeah, last year was, I keep getting last year and the year before mixed up. One of them was like 27, and I think the other was like 31.
So in a 16-game season, you're talking about maybe once or twice per game.
That's right, yeah.
Do you think that, you know, that establishes you right there as one of the best corners in the NFL?
Well, you know, I guess that would be that would more so be something that you would ask the offensive coordinators. But when they do come up to me at the end of the game, that's pretty much what is said and is what the game plan was. But you know, then every now and then you'll catch a team that will throw more than one ball at you, so you never know what's going to happen.
When you go up against guys who tend to be a higher caliber quarterbacks, the Pro Bowlers, you know, the Mannings, the Bradys, do you think they tend to challenge you a little more because they feel like they're every bit as good as a quarterback as you are a corner?
No, I think you would expect that a lot of times, but in the past that hasn't been the case. But I do go into every game, pretty much I go into every snap regardless of who the quarterback is. You know, thinking that the ball is going to come just because the guy wants to test me and, you know, prove his point and do this, that, and the other. But a lot of times that hasn't been the case.
You haven't faced Donovan, have you?
You said, do I
have
do
you
what?
Faced Donovan?
Yeah.
A couple years ago, right?
Yeah. I did. In 2005, I went against Philly. We went down to Philly, and it was like my third or fourth game starting. At corner, and I faced him.
How difficult is it to be an elite corner on a team that has just perennially struggled?
I think the difficult part is the team that is that has perennially struggled. Whether you're an elite corner or not, I think that's going to be one of the most frustrating things to deal with, especially when you put in all the time and all the effort, and you see the other guys. Working hard to get good outcomes, and then we get to the games, and it's not like close losses, but it's like you're losing by two touchdowns plus. You know, that's a huge disappointment at the end of the day.
I know you weren't at Cal with DeSean Jackson at the same time, but do you know him at all? Have you guys crossed paths at all, and your impressions of him as a player and otherwise if you've met him?
Yeah. I know DeSean very well. We're both from Los Angeles area, so we keep in contact here and there. And I, you know, have known him since Cal, since I was still up here. You know, and I'm very happy for him. Very impressed with the way he plays. You know, he's a playmaker, and you know, he's the type of guy that you're happy that he's representing your school because. A lot of times you want some bragging rights. So he's one of the gems that was able to come out of Berkeley. But, you know, he's been very impressive. I'm very happy with how he's playing.
You guys did the Eagles a big favor last December. Did DeSean reach out to you and thank you for helping getting them into the playoffs?
Yeah, I spoke to him during the offseason, and he brought that up. I don't think I don't know if anyone expected us to beat Tampa at the end of the season last year, but when that happened, you could tell everyone from Philadelphia, DeSean, all the guys were pretty excited. So we didn't even know what the implications would be after we played them, but you know, anywhere we could help out.
Do you think they'll pay you back by losing this weekend?
Yeah, that'd be great.
When you look at Deshaun on film and Jeremy Maclin, who's 22, Deshaun's, I think, 21, and you see what they're capable of doing, you feel like they can kind of become an elite tandem of receivers in this league and down in the future?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, their playmaking ability and their confidence can go a long way in this league, and you're seeing it now from them, the way they're playing. It's two young guys, and they're still getting the job done. That can be a formidable tandem for years to come, especially when you have consistency with your quarterback and, you know, you've got that same guy, and he's always working with you on your routes and timing and that type of stuff. Boy, the sky could be the limit for those two.
The Eagles are getting a lot of questions this week about how do you prepare for a team that you're an overwhelming favorite against. What's it like on the other side of that, going against a team where nobody really expects you guys to win this week?
Well, there aren't many weeks when we go into games that teams that people expect us to win. So it's, for us, unfortunately, it's nothing new. It's not like where you go into the game and, oh, you know, all of a sudden they're thinking you're going to lose, and so how do you overcome that? They're always thinking that we're going to lose, so our job is always to play spoiler. I think sometimes you want to be the favorite, you know, all the time you want to be the favorite, and you want to be the team that people are fearing, but when you're always the underdog, I don't think you have any job but to play spoiler and to try to shock people, and that's how we prepare for this game. You know, it's never... I know with me, it's never something where it's a confidence issue like, oh, this person is favored over me or, you know, they're favored over us, so let's give it to them already. No, there's a reason why you play the game, and that's to overcome those type of obstacles and to you know, pretty much silence your critics.
Why do you think the Raiders have fallen so much? I mean, this is a once proud franchise. It's really, for almost a decade now, has struggled.
You know, it's like the million-dollar question. It's tough to pinpoint. You know, it's like I know, especially this year. In previous years, we brought in the big-time free agents, and we did all that, and we had the high draft picks. So you would think that there would be a turnaround, and then you know, and we'd switch coaches and all sorts of things, but there would be no turnaround. And then this year, we didn't do that type of stuff. We kept the coach. We didn't bring in all the big-time free agents. So we're like, okay, let's try something different. And that didn't work. So, you know, I don't know. It's kind of like you unscrew you screw in one light bulb to fix it, and then another light bulb goes out, and then you screw that one in to fix it, and then another one. So it's like we haven't been able to get consistency in all areas of our game. There's always something that's missing, and it hurts us.
Do you guys talk among yourselves about the crazy stuff that's going on? Obviously, the thing with your head coach being the biggest one.
Yeah, guys do talk about it. You know, it's something that guys bring up every now and then. It's not necessarily what's going on with Tom, but it's the whole collection of things that we have to deal with each and every year, not just this year, but every year. You know just as well as we do, there's always something or some things that we have to deal with or that come up that arise that have nothing to do with us actually being on the field playing the game. So there's always something else out there, and it's it can get difficult for guys, especially guys that are coming from different programs and maybe haven't experienced this, or were winning all the time in college and never experienced anything like this. So it's definitely something that guys talk about. Do guys let it be a hindrance to them on the field? I don't think so. I think at that point, there's too much pride in guys that no one's even worrying about it. No one's even thinking about it. But, you know, every now and then during the week, a guy will bring it up and guys will converse about it.
You guys, when you got off to an all right start, you said some promise in the first couple of weeks. What do you think happened after that? I mean, did that kind of give you some confidence in the beginning?
Well, we got off to a pretty good start in a loss, which is kind of which is a little ironic. We lost to San Diego, but it was a good start for us. You know, we came out, we were underdogs for that game. I think they were heavily favored, and we came in and we we gave it all we got, and we showed that we could play with some top talent in this league. And then the second game against Kansas City, we won that game, but no one was overly excited because there were a ton of mistakes that we made, and we needed to fix before the Denver game, and we weren't able to fix everything before that third game, which was against Denver, and Denver was able to take advantage of that, and then it kind of spiraled. Since then, the two games later. So it was one of those things where you got a leak, you have to plug it in before the thing starts to overflood, and then we weren't able to plug all our holes in before that Denver game, and so now we're kind of in a position where we're trying to play catch-up and see if we can get back into this thing before it gets too late.
Now, I mean, do you think, you know, from your perspective, for Jamarcus, maybe having a lot of young receivers, and, you know, you talked about the changing in coaching staff, and then finally have a guy who was there last year and this year. Do you think that there are a lot of elements around that have made it tough for him to get settled, get comfortable, and recognize all the responsibilities that go into being to a quarterback?
Yeah, you know, I think so. There's elements, I think, for all of our guys that have been here. There are different things that can make it a little bit tougher. You look at what myself and what Gallery and Michael Huff and some of the other top draft picks have had to deal with as far as switching positions and getting new coaches each year. You know, it makes it difficult for any draft pick or any player that is looked on to perform at a high level early in their career. But, you know, then there comes a point where you just say, you know, I have to overcome. You know, I have to be better than the circumstances that I'm dealing with. And that's when you make it out of the situation. So, yeah, there's always going to be something that puts your back against the wall, I think. But the measure of how strong you are is going to weigh in on your character and how you can develop outside of that situation you're dealing with.
How much talk has there been about Brian Westbrook from your guys' side and getting ready for this game?
Oh, there's a lot of talk. You know, they've got weapons all over the offense. I mean, from Westbrook to the receivers to both quarterbacks. They've got a huge offensive line. Their tight end leads the team in receptions, and you don't hear that much about him. So there's been a lot of talk about everybody, especially Westbrook. I know we played Westbrook, like I was saying earlier, in 2005, and he hurt us a lot catching the ball out of the backfield. And so that's one of the things that we've harped on. He can catch it, he can run it, and he can do, you know, a whole bunch of things. So we're definitely keying on him.
You've played the Giants, and now you've seen the Eagles on film. Can you tell much difference between either team?
There's a big difference between the teams. I mean, they're two different styles of play. I mean, the talent is both there, but they've got different types of players. When you're going against Brandon Jacobs and then Brian Westbrook, there's a different thing to work for. They're both highly talented, but they're two different types of players. When you have McNabb and you have Eli, you've got two elite quarterbacks, but they're two completely different styles of quarterbacks. Definitely you see that there's differences. They're both great teams, but they're completely different on offense.
How do you move around? Do you cover both left and right side, or do you generally stay on one side?
Majority of the time, it'll be on the right side, and then there will be certain times when we have matchups that we want or schemes or different things that we're trying to do on defense, and then then I'll be on both sides, the left or the right, or inside on the spot. So, but majority of the time, it'll be on the right side.
Hey guys, I got to get him going to his meeting, okay?
All right, we think you're a Hall of Fame quote, so if you want to come to Philly, it's no problem.
Thanks.
Thanks.